The title of my challenge tonight is Rules for Resolve. I want to start with a poem by Frances Havergal. It's called Another Year. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be in working or in waiting another year with Thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving Thy presence all the days. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace, another year of gladness, the glory of Thy face. Another year of learning upon Thy, another year of leaning upon Thy loving breast. Another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of service, of witness for Thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year of dawning. Dear Father, let it be on earth or else in heaven, another year for Thee. I thought that was some interesting thoughts there. Hope that they'll be a blessing to you. I have three very simple ideas that I'd like to suggest to you about resolve. First of all, I would like to say I believe that resolve is an important part of a Christian's life. When we read the Word, we're not supposed to be forgetful hearers, but what? We're supposed to be doers of the Word, so we ought to be resolved. When we see something God wants us to do, we ought to say, Lord, I'm going to start doing that. And when we see something that we're doing and the Lord says that's not right and the Spirit of God sort of convicts you and pricks your heart a little bit, you should be able to say, Lord, I'm going to be resolved not to do that anymore. So resolve is a good thing, this kind of resolve. That's not what is normally associated with New Year's. I know people make all sorts of promises and resolves and then they don't keep them. But I'm thinking about Christian resolve. And I would suggest that maybe even before the night is over, that you be resolved. I'm going to give you some good ideas and that you be resolved to do something that you believe would please the Lord. My three little rules for resolve, these are not deep things, but the first one is don't develop a rigid mindset about where you're going to be or what you're going to be doing in the coming year. You know that's biblical. In other words, be flexible. When you have a resolve that's it requires a certain circumstance, well, it's you don't know about the circumstance. The Bible says, you know, in James chapter 4, verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So you could be alive or you could be dead in the middle of 2024. We don't know. In Proverbs chapter 27 in verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27, 1. So you could be rich or poor at the end of the next year, right? You could be healthy or you could be sick. You could be employed or unemployed. You could be married or you could be a widow or widower. And on and on and on it goes. We just don't know, do we? We don't know what the year holds. But I'm thankful for what someone added. We know who holds the days ahead. We know who holds tomorrow, even if we don't know what tomorrow holds. So we ought to make resolutions that allow the flexibility or can be performed under any circumstance. It would be something internal, something spiritual, to be resolved to think a certain way, to stop thinking a certain way, to start speaking speaking in a different tone to a particular individual, perhaps, or to individuals. It could be anything. Something spiritual. Have something that's flexible so it doesn't require certain circumstances of life, because we don't know what they'll be. Secondly, keep God in the equation. James continues in the next verse, verse 15 of chapter 4, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So don't forget tonight and don't forget as you think about resolve and being resolved to do certain things that you are necessarily dependent. In other words, we need God. It's not that you know, we just want to freeload on somebody or to be a leech before him. He made us to need him. We are his people. We are his children. And he wants us to be dependent upon him. We're necessarily dependent upon God. So make resolutions about life that revolve around him. I would remind you that after all, for you to live is Christ. For you to live is Christ. It's not about you or me anyway, is it? So our resolution ought to be something that pleases our God, because our life is truly about him, not about us. He owns us. Thirdly, build your resolution around a biblical principle. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Somebody said to me one time, the word study there means spend yourself, exert yourself. That's the idea. Spend yourself, exert yourself to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or cutting it straight. That's the idea, cutting it straight. Meaning, take it for what it is. Make sure that you have the right interpretation of the scriptures. And then build your resolution, your resolve around some biblical principle. And be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay, so decide to add something or decide to withdraw something from life that is prescribed by God, as it is prescribed by God. You don't need that in your life. Can you think of something? Some thought pattern, some process, some word that you have grown accustomed to using, some entertainment. Some source of entertainment, some songs that you have just accepted, though you probably wouldn't want anybody to know that that's your music. Some friend that you've taken up with, some idea, some ambition that you know would not be pleasing to the Lord. Something that has a biblical principle involved. Decide to add something to your life or to withdraw something from your life that is prescribed by the Lord. Now, I want to give you some ideas tonight. Some of them are in our guidelines, not our guidelines, our bylaws, our constitution. We have something we call a spiritual resolution in our bylaws. We did that in lieu of a covenant, a church covenant, just to get away from the idea of a promise toward God. But still, we agree together that this is what we ought to do. We haven't promised before God. We've not taken an oath for these things. And the reason we do that is because most people don't do this all the time. But we agree together this is what should be done. It reads like this: because we have been convicted by the Holy Spirit of our sin and convinced of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and because we have embraced the Savior through faith and enduring dependence upon His promise to deliver our souls from sin, death, and hell, and because we have given public testimony of our faith by following our Lord's command to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, because of those things, we therefore joyfully and earnestly agree together in the presence of God and our brethren that we will endeavor as one body in Christ by the aid of the Holy Spirit to be and do all that He has commanded. And then we have some bullet points, lots of them. Listen, to walk together and watch over one another in Christian love, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to remember one another in prayer, to cultivate Christian sympathy and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense and always ready for reconciliation, to be just and faithful and exemplary in our dealings and behavior, to maintain family and personal devotions. There's one. Do you have devotions every day, certain time of day? This would be a great resolve, a resolution. to educate our children in accordance with the Word of God, to walk circumspectly in the world, to abstain from fleshly indulgences such as the use of immodest dress, piercings of the body, markings or body markings, illegal drugs, alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, worldly entertainment, and philosophies, etc. To love, honor, and esteem the pastor, to pray for him, to recognize his authority in the spiritual and day-to-day affairs of the church, to labor for the advancement of this church in knowledge and holiness, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, and the need of the unfortunate, to participate in the spreading of the gospel to all nations, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. That's a long list, we would say. It was really a short list. There's a lot more we could do, right? A lot more could be added. The Spirit of God will lead us into all things. Everything, every situation, He'll direct us. If we know the Word and hide it in our hearts, He'll use it to direct us and keep us from sin, and to keep us busy doing the things we ought to. You could make it rather broad and say, Lord, I'm resolved to listen to Your Spirit. I'm going to listen for Your Spirit's communication with me in my conscious mind, and I'm going to give heed to it. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to do what He requires of me. That would be a good resolve. And to think about it every day, and to make an honest effort to make that change in your life. Some years ago, I don't remember when exactly, but I believe I shared with you Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. He lived from 1703 to 758. This is from the Works of Jonathan Edwards, Volume 1. I'll read these to you as well. See if you pick up something that you might like. Try it on for size. Wear it home tonight. That would be good. Jonathan Edwards. He says, being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat Him by His grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to His will. For Christ's sake, I will remember to read over these resolutions once a week, he says. Number one, resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to the glory of God and my own good, profit, and pleasure in the whole of my duration, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many myriads of ages hence. That's not how we talk. But did you get the point here? Secondly, he says, resolved to do whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. Resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Resolved to live with all my might while I do live. Resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Resolved never to do anything out of revenge. Resolved never to speak evil of anyone so that it shall tend to his dishonor more or less, upon no account except for the good, for some real good. Resolved to study the Scripture so steadfastly, constantly, and frequently as that I might find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. Resolved never to count that a prayer, nor to let that pass as a prayer, nor that as a petition of a prayer, which is so made that I cannot hope that God will answer it, nor that as a confession which I cannot hope that God will accept. Resolved to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month, and year, wherein I could possibly in any respect have done better. Resolved never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. Resolved after afflictions to inquire what I am better for them, what good I have got by them, and what I might have got by them. Lastly, resolve always to do that which I shall wish I had done when I see others do it. Let there be something of benevolence in all that I speak, he says. Now, granted, he writes in words in a style that we don't use, but I hope you pick up on some. There's some really good items there, some really good principles that he resolved to do. And I'm sure that he was serious when he wrote them down, and I'm sure he probably didn't do every one of these forever for the rest of his life. I don't know, but it would be quite human of him to slip still and to leave something off that should have been done or do something that should not have been done. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for resolve. What would God have you do that you're not doing? What would he have you stop doing that you're doing? Some biblical principle. It doesn't depend on the circumstances. They won't matter. They won't make any difference, the circumstances. And you want to keep God in the equation, right? You're dependent upon him. So whatever you resolve to do, if it's his will, he's going to help you do it. The Spirit of God lives in your heart. He'll remind you, oh, you promised, or you resolved, or you said you would. And we need to consider God in the equation and make resolutions about life that revolve around him. A little challenge. I don't know what you could resolve, what resolution you might take up this year. I would encourage you, though, not the silly ones. I'm going to lose 20 pounds before February, that's okay if you want to lose 20 pounds before February, but don't make a resolve, just do it. But what about these things that you can think about every day? These biblical principles that need to be applied to your life, you know what they are. And maybe there'll be others. We don't have to do it on December the 31st or January the 1st. We can do it anytime during the year. Lord, I'm resolved. I want to do this for you. I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. I'd really like to get better. How about you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts and lives. Lord, we've got much food for thought. I pray that it'll make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others who might hear this on the internet or on a CD. Thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.